Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to episode 4 of Owner's Hour.
Hi, Marty.
Hi, Kelly.
How are you going?
I'm really good. How are you?
Good.
Excellent. Let's dive in. So far in Owner's Hour, we've covered a general chit-chat about how to pick your builder, some contract tips and pitfalls. We've talked about the QBCC. Today we're going to talk about what happens when you've just got to bring on the biff, if I can say that.
Bring on the biff.
Bring on the biff.
Yeah. Do you mean when something goes wrong and there is a dispute about something?
That is a much more eloquent way to put it, yes.
All right, well, let's just bring on the biff.
Let's do it.
Hearthstone Legal presents a real talk of the good, the bad, and everything in between. For all things business and construction law, whether it's navigating a dispute, the QBCC, or guidance on a contract, we give you a rundown of some of the do's and the don'ts. These are digestible chats on topics that you might hear in our office of an afternoon. Daunting? Not anymore. Here's law clarified.
Now, seriously, let's be serious for a moment.
We need to be serious. This is serious stuff.
Because even though we sound very jovial and jokey, and there's a serious side to what we'd have to do for our clients.
Yes.
And sometimes it's not as simple as putting a plan together, discussing tactics and getting you back on track. Sometimes your building train has fallen off the tracks. The carts are smashed. Everything's fallen out.
Yeah.
It's a disaster.
It's a disaster. Yeah.
So sometimes people find themselves there in that spot.
We really hope you don't.
Oh my gosh, I know.
We really hope nobody ends up in a what we might call a formal dispute. But it happens. It does. I mean, that's why we exist, right?
Yes, that is right. That's right.
We are building and construction litigation lawyers.
Yeah. Yep. And it happens.
We exist because things go wrong.
Yeah. And as you said in the first podcast, it's only a small amount. To be fair, if we actually sat down and work out the percentages, which we're not going to do, but let's say we did, it would only be a small percentage of new builds or renovations that actually go south.
Down this pathway. Yeah.
And it's still then actually a very slim percentage of those that actually end up
anywhere near a court or a tribunal.
That's right. Or getting some final determination from a third party. But it's still our bread and butter. We still see a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know.
We do.
So where do we start? Everything's gone bad. Everything's gone bad. You have to make a decision about ending your contract.
Yes, yes. So shall we just to paint a picture of what going bad might look like?
I love a good visual.
Love a good visual. So going bad might mean maybe the builder has walked off the job.
Yep. And abandoned the site.
Maybe you know why. Maybe you have no idea. But one minute you're building or renovating, next minute he's not there. That's a sign that a plan of some kind needs to be put in place.
That's right.
What's other examples of it going bad?
It being constructed very poorly.
Poorly, yeah.
Slowly or poorly.
Yep. Slow progress. Concerns about quality of workmanship.
Structural integrity.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like the slab has been poured properly because it's cracking and there's a huge big gap, or the waterproofing hasn't been put on properly. There's huge big gaps everywhere. Like real significant problems with the quality of the work.
Yeah.
That you as an owner have concerns about.
Yeah. And you've got a written contract in place. You should. Please do. But you've got a written contract in place. It says things like the project is to be completed by this date, by this time frame. You know, the clock is ticking.
Yep.
You may or may not be paying a construction loan to a bank. There's financial pressures. Things are getting you know, quite worrisome.
Yes.
Yep. So it would be at that would that would be a situation where we might describe it as going bad.
Yes. And at that point, again, as we've said multiple times, get advice early.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think, oh, it'll be fine. They'll come back to site. They'll finally answer my email. Or something will happen. Oh, yes,
that's another one. They start ghosting you.
Yeah, they start ghosting you. It's
not returning your calls or your emails or text messages. They start ghosting
you. See, just like a relationship.
Just like a relationship. This is a dating podcast.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we should double down on that. That's the time where pick up the phone.
Yes, talk to a lawyer.
Tell someone. Talk to a lawyer. Talk to us. Say, this is happening. What are my options?
What are my options? What are my obligations?
What can I do? What can't I do? And
sometimes so important to understand that.
Absolutely. And sometimes that advice is, unfortunately, terminate your contract, bring the contract to an end. And
yep.
And every contract, whether it's a standard form one or whether it's the builder's own contract, should have mechanisms in it for how you bring a contract to an end.
How do you terminate it?
And there are a couple of different ways that that can happen. And every situation is individual and different.
Mm-hmm.
But we can help with
that. We can help. And I think the other main point about this stage, this do I end the contract or not stage, and reiterates the importance of getting good, you know, legal advice, is you really need to understand the risks of taking that step.
Yes.
It's a big step to take. You're effectively saying the contract's at an end and you're locking the builder off the site.
Yeah.
Effective. Well, that's what you're doing.
Yes.
You're kicking the builder off the site.
Yes.
And
some of those risks might even be that you don't get legal advice, or you get legal advice from a lawyer who doesn't necessarily specialise in building and construction law. You might actually terminate the contract incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's – it happens, unfortunately, from time to time. That can also have a massive impact on what your next step is.
Yeah, exactly.
Really important.
Really important to understand the risks and the issues around taking that step. It's not a step that you take lightly, because you are at risk of, if a contract is not terminated correctly, you are at risk of being sued.
Mm-hmm.
The builder could sue you.
Yes.
For a number of different claims, which we won't go into the detail of, but you will be at risk of being sued, and you will also be at risk as well as compromising any claim that you might want to make through the QBCC, the Queensland Building and Construction Commission, to have your home or your renovations completed by another builder.
That's right.
So, you know, you really...
You might even risk your ability to make claims against your builder.
Yeah.
For various different losses or damages as a result of the builder's action or the builder's inaction.
Yeah. So that's terminating a building contract is not a step that should be taken lightly, flippantly, or in the heat of a moment.
Absolutely.
It's something that you really need to think about.
Yeah. And alongside that, I think, because and I literally just said this to someone today, there is part of our job is the legal advice, you know, which is the strict legal advice in accordance with here are your obligations under the contract. Can we tick this box? Can we tick that box? But there's also some commercial advice that goes along with that, which is the sensible risk consideration. If I do this, what is it going to cost me?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, the discussion about terminating contracts is a very different discussion at, say, for example, the slab stage of your house to the almost practical completion stage. It's a different conversation.
It's a different conversation.
The lay of the land is totally different.
Totally different.
Sometimes at the very, very end where you're so close, sometimes it's actually a more commercially sensible option to try to work with the builder.
Yeah, to just massage the project through.
That's right.
So that you can lawfully get the keys, lawfully take possession, get into your house.
That's exactly right. And there might be some things that you still need to have an argy-bargy about, but
Argy-bargy, that's a technical legal term.
It is. I wonder if there's a Latin term for that. Argy-bargy.
Probably. I don't.
We could ask our forefathers.
Yes.
But it's a different conversation, right?
It's a different conversation. Mm. Yeah, there's a lot to think about.
Yeah. So,
and when you're in it, like when you're in it, you're experiencing that stress,
yes,
that heartache. It's very difficult to have a clear mind, to have an objective look at, yes, the situation and go, all right, well, these are the risks. It's difficult to think through that.
Mm.
And I think that's where a lawyer, you know, certainly we lawyers, us, we'll talk you through that.
Yep.
And because we're one step we're away from the situation, we can look at the facts, look at the contract, look at the facts and give that dispassionate, objective view of your situation and enable you to come up with a plan that suits your risk appetite and your profile.
Exactly. You're exactly right, because we aren't emotionally attached to the project.
No.
We'll hold your hand.
Generally no.
Yeah, generally no. We'll hold your hand. We get that it's emotionally, financially stressful, draining, concerning. We'll hold your hand through that, but we're not going to sugarcoat the reality of what those risks are and what the options are.
No.
And objectively, we can offer that view so that you can make a decision.
You can
about
make
what
a decision and be ready for whatever consequence may follow from the next step that you take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that next step sometimes is the biff, the litigation, the
the
fight,
argy-bargy.
The argy-bargy. the getting in the courtroom and saying things like I object. And
I object the law and order solution.
In Queensland, we have really two options, I guess, for people, for homeowners, if they have a legitimate claim, which we can give you advice about.
Mm.
And those options are either the court system, magistrates court, district court, Supreme Court, although very rarely, I think, a residential build ends up in the Supreme Court. Or there's also the QCAT, as we call it, but the Queensland Civil and Administrative Tribunal.
Yeah.
It has a specialised building list.
Yeah.
And there are forms and things that have to be filled out, processes. Mm-hmm. There are pros and cons for both. QCAT was initially set up and designed to be the building specialist, if I can use that term, as opposed to courts. But QCAT is a really big beast.
Yeah.
It deals with a lot of jurisdictions, a lot of lists.
Mm-hmm.
And it can sometimes be a bit slow.
Mm.
It is a good process.
Mm.
It allows homeowners, it allows you to work through the dispute. There's a lot of opportunity for dispute resolution, mediation, opportunities to resolve the matter early.
Mm-hmm.
But currently, on my last check anyway, QCAT was taking up to 62 weeks to resolve a dispute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Litigation, I think, and again, this might be controversial, but I think
I love a good controversy. Lay it on us.
I think people just think something's gone wrong. I'm going to sue. Like, you know, sue. I just got a new car recently, and I've been quite clear with the children about, you know, don't do this, don't do that. Like, don't be very careful if anyone scratches my car. And my almost 7-year-old son the other day, something happened on the road, and I might have said an inappropriate grown-up word. and he yelled at the car, "Yeah, watch out. If you scratch my mum's car, she'll sue you." Which, you know, is really adorable. But it's just that mindset that something's gone wrong. I've got to blame someone and I'm going to sue them.
Oh, look, and that's a perfectly human response to a situation where you feel aggrieved and wronged.
Yes.
I don't want to invalidate
Oh, no.
That behaviour or those feelings. Because if someone scratched my car, I'd want to sue them too.
Yeah.
But you have to go into that process understanding what that's actually going to take.
Yes. Because litigation is expensive.
It's expensive. It's tough, man. It's tough.
It is.
It's rough and tumble sometimes.
It's emotionally expensive.
Yeah.
It's financially expensive.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you might get your day in court, but you've spent a lot of emotion, a lot of money. You might not necessarily get the outcome that you wanted or that you thought you're entitled to.
I can say quite confidently that I have never in all of my years of practice had a client say at the end of a court or a tribunal process, that was the best thing ever.
Mm.
No one has ever said that, ever.
Yep.
Even when they may have got 90% of what they want, because it's 2 or 3 years down the track,
mm-hmm.
their marriage is broken down.
Yep. They've had to sell the
house. They've had to sell the house because they can't fund the litigation anymore.
Yep.
Or the situation is so traumatic that they actually can't live there.
Mm.
Like, that's an experience that some people have.
Yes.
Tragically.
Yeah.
And
we say these things not to dissuade anyone, but because if you have a genuine claim and you have the capacity to pursue it, you absolutely should. Absolutely. Yeah. But I think people do have this misconception that you can just easily sue anyone and it'll be a straightforward process. And, you know, we've often heard, oh, that's the, you know, that bit of evidence or that email, that's a smoking gun, like that's my ticket to win. Stuff comes up in litigation that sometimes even the most amazing planning in the world cannot anticipate.
Well, you're not in control of the process.
And, yeah, you are handing the responsibility over to someone else.
Someone who doesn't know you,
mm.
a tribunal member or a judge, will make a decision for you. You have no control over that.
Mm.
Like that outcome.
Yeah.
You do have control in negotiations.
Absolutely.
And mediations. Successful negotiations and mediations require compromise.
They do.
And
one thing that I've learned, and as some of our listeners will know, I started my career in the mediation sphere, is that when you have a decision made by a third person, a judge, a tribunal member, even an arbitrator, sometimes that's a relevant or an appropriate jurisdiction. You're right, Kel, you don't have control over it. But not only do you not have control over it, that person deciding your matter can only make certain decisions.
Yeah.
They only have certain powers under the bit of legislation that determines how they decide these matters. In mediation, you can pretty much agree to anything.
Yeah.
As long as it's legal.
I'm glad you put that caveat on it. I'm thinking, anything?
As long as it's legal and both parties agree to it.
Yeah. You're right.
The scope of.
You can resolve a lot of things.
Yeah, the outcome can
be. Mediation.
Really vast and different and individualized. And someone sometimes comes up with a resolution suggestion that you might never have thought of.
Mm.
And you can walk away from a mediation, even having compromised, still feeling some sense of justice, satisfaction, because you have had control, you've been able to participate in the decision making, the resolution.
Yeah.
So I think, and this is something that Jesse and I talked about a few times in the Toolbox Tuesdays podcast, I think my natural tendency is to see whether there is a resolution possible that keeps people out of court.
Yeah.
For that exact reason, not only is it more emotionally and financially economical, but people have more control and are often more satisfied. I don't want to say happy, but they're more satisfied with the outcome because they've done a little bit of compromise. They might have had to give up a few things, but they've got some stuff that they really wanted. Sometimes the court just, or the tribunal just can't provide those things to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think underneath all of what we've just been talking about, if you're in this situation, hargy bargy, I think it's really important to be clear about what you want.
Yes.
Like, what do you want? Do you want money?
Do you want an apology?
Do you want an apology? Do you want the builder's blood?
Yeah.
Like, honestly,
yeah.
What do you want? Like,
and being realistic about those expectations.
Mm, yeah.
Saying, I want my house knocked down and rebuilt completely. There are times where that's
an appropriate outcome.
There are also times where
it's
never going to happen.
It's never going to happen. No court is ever going to order that.
Exactly. So being really realistic about those things, I think, is important when you are in a situation where you are looking down the long barrel of litigation and weighing up those options and risks and pros and cons.
Yeah, knowing what you want, and then we lawyers can come in and just give you a bit of and reality test those outcomes.
Yeah.
And come up with a plan on how we might be able to achieve those outcomes for you or not.
Exactly. I think too, I'll just mention time, I think, is a really big factor. Not only do you have to make these sorts of claims in a timely manner, but I don't think you can ever anticipate how slowly or quickly they'll get resolved.
Yeah.
So, for example, a couple of years ago we had a matter in the district court. It started in the February of the particular year. It was fully done by the September.
Yep.
Done and dusted. Gee,
that's
pretty quick, right?
That's quick.
Quite quick. We have other clients who their matter started in 2017.
Yeah. Yes.
It's still going.
Yes.
It's almost 2023.
I'm one of these people who still thinks that it's 2019. So.
But we're now closer to 2023.
I know.
They still don't have outcomes in their matter.
No, and they're not even close.
And they're living in houses that are less than ideal in terms of their construction.
Yep.
Might be leaking, might be subsiding. And they're literally just stuck and sitting and having to wait for an outcome.
Yep.
And I think that's possibly even more, I don't want to say depressing, but that's even more frustrating.
Taxing
than the initial frustration that they would have had with their builder.
Yeah.
So, again, not to suggest that if you're a homeowner and something's going wrong, you should just put up with it.
You should put up with stuff. We're not suggesting that at all.
No, but you need to get that advice early.
Or invalidating how you feel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We're not suggesting you suppress that and give up and put up with really poor conduct and a really poor situation. But what we are saying, I think, is, well, I hope the message that's being received is, if you are at this point, it is critical that you seek legal advice and just be clear about what's going to happen next.
Yep.
What you need to do next.
And what your options.
What your options are.
And expectations are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Have a lawyer help you with that.
Yep. And figure out of the possible paths that you could start walking down,
this is the one I'm taking.
That's right.
I'm comfortable with this.
And I understand the, you know, what's going to come at me as I walk down this path.
Yep. Yeah.
Really important
things
to consider. Because as you said right at the start, it's difficult. It's not a decision that you take lightly.
You don't take it lightly, no.
But we can hold your hand and walk down that path with you.
Yes.
And support you through that process and take some of the stress out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the role of lawyers, right?
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We can do the argy bargy too.
Yeah, we like a bit of a biff.
Bring back the biff.
Sometimes I wonder, imagine if the way to resolve disputes was just to put two people in a boxing ring and let them go at it.
Hand-to-hand combat?
Yeah, or even just rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, your way's nicer.
Unfortunately.
I don't know where my head's at.
Unfortunately, sometimes we have to use strongly worded letters. Yeah. And
yes, it's all part of it.
Strong tactics.
Again, we're not suggesting you put up with a poor situation.
No, definitely not.
If you are on the right side legally of a situation, then by all means pursue it.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
But pursue it understanding what that means.
Yes.
In terms of time, cost, energy, yeah. risk.
Also, just to be clear, we're not saying that you should take matters into your own hands either, because then you may need another kind of lawyer and we definitely can't help with that.
I think we really need to put a big disclaimer over the end of this podcast episode.
Our resolution suggestions are theoretical only.
This is general legal advice only. Get specific legal advice for your situation. How's that for a disclaimer on the fly?
Yeah, that's
Does that work?
Good. Yeah.
Please don't take matters into your own hands.
Please don't.
Please don't.
Let's deal with it. Oh, let's help you deal with it.
Can someone press stop on this microphone?
I think we should, because I think that's done.
Oh, we're not laughing at these situations either.
They are really stressful.
Yeah,
but that's why getting advice early, we can help you. That's the service that we can offer to guide you through a very difficult time, hopefully as unscathed as possible.
Yep. I think that's a good place to end.
Yeah, I think so too. Right.
There we go.
Episode four. Thanks, Kel.
No worries, Marty. Thank you.
Good chat.
You.
Yeah, and we hope everyone has enjoyed Owner's Hours so far.
Hope it's provided some really valuable information.
Yeah, and as always, our information, contact information is in the link, in the show notes, or on our website. So just jump on, give us a call, drop us an email. We're always happy to have a chat.
A 10-minute conversation could potentially save thousands and thousands of dollars and a little energy.
Absolutely.
I'm not even joking about that.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Okay,
good. All right, awesome. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.